It is an honor to be here today. Amen. I am excited. We have been in this series, and with this series, we've had rotation with our different the elders trustees to be able to rotate through and minister. And so I just have already heard back so much. But here's something else that I've heard is with some of these guys, they are really talking about, even for them going through that process of preparing and doing public speaking and getting up here and presenting the word and sharing their life, opening themselves up and being transparent with their own failures, own successes, and those kinds of things to really help us, that it's doing a mighty work in them. And I think that is a twofold thing happening there. So, but it also gives you an understanding that we have some strong people that are on this team. Some of them have a lot of years that have been here and been a part of our church. For Joanne and I to be here, you know, as long as we have as senior pastors. Man, it speaks a lot of just the stability and what God has done here at the Life Church. And it's not been without some struggles and some up and downs and some disagreements, you know. we it's kind of like any relationship, right? You know, and that happens, and we hammer stuff out and we come to agreement and we run with it. We find consensus. We don't operate probably. I make sure of this, that we don't try to outvote somebody. If there's somebody struggling with something, a decision being made, we're willing to hit pause and start praying about it and really find out, okay, is God somehow, somebody hearing something we're not? And so we just move through a process in that. So I want you to understand that. And that being a part of the Life Church, you're a part of something that I truly believe has legacy. You know, this church has been around since, in its original origin, since 1972. And so it's got a long history, had some different names, you know, a couple of times there through the past. But, and actually not many pastors, you know. As far as actual senior pastors, I'm only the third pastor. So we, with each pastor, there's longevity in that as well. And that's just something that this church has been able to value and make it a vital part. And so we appreciate you being a part and being here. And a few weeks ago when I was here, I made comment. We had a guest that was here, and I gave some honor there, and I mentioned somebody else they're in a political race against each other, and just recently I found out that they've been a part of our church for about 2 years, and so sometimes it's a challenge for me rotating in the three campuses that we have, and Joanne and I had been living up in the Metroplex and moving back now here. I'm regaining some of that, but Pastor David, which Hilmy Kelly, I believe, are out today. I have really encouraged our campus pastors, as some of our elders have stepped up to take some of the load on Sundays, to take some time off. And so they've been able to do some of that. But I wanted to give honor to Stormy Bradley and her husband, Tyler, that they're a part of this church. Can y'all just stand up and just let people see you? And turn around, let them see you. We appreciate you being here. And I thank God for them and for her, that, and just the willingness to get in the fight and to really feel like that God's called her to this. And for them to be a part of our church family, it wasn't just her making the rounds at churches. She's here, and she's been here weekly. And her family, Pastor Mike says they got great kids, so that's a good thing, right? And two boys, right? So they asked me, they invited me to open in prayer for our governor. Do we have that picture? I don't know if we can. There we are. Look at that. Woo! So I opened in prayer, and... Now, There's a little bit of backstory in that. So we were waiting, and the governor was delayed a little bit, started just a little late. And so when he rolled in, I was the one kicking off. And so immediately, soon as he got there, they were like, "Grab the mic, you're up, go." And I'm like, oh. So I grab the mic and I step up there. I do a little welcome and then pray, and I pass it off to the next person who was speaking. And then Stormy got up and introduced the governor. And as the governor, looking back, I get what he was probably doing. But in the moment, sometimes you just don't think things through. And he comes rolling past me because I was standing over on the side. And I think he was just waving to everybody, but he happened to look up at me. So I just gave him a high five as he rolled by. And then I happened to make eye contact with his security team. And they were giving me the eye. And I was like, ooh, okay, I'll be good. But it's just one of those moments, right? Oh, man. And, you know, early voting starts on Tuesday. You do know that, right? And there's a lot on the ballot. And I'm probably going to hit some stuff this morning. Oh, yeah. I told one of our elders, he was asking me how I was doing. I said, well, I'm doing good, but I'm feeling a little froggy. So we're just going to go there. So let's just jump into this message today. I did not pick this. You know, these got passed out and assigned to different pieces as we looked at this series, because we're connected with Gateway, with Pastor Robert and The Blessed Life. And, of course, we've been giving out the books. And if you hadn't got a book yet, let them know. We want to give you a book. And but in that series, this message that I got handed. And again, initially I was like, oh man, I don't want that one. I want this one, you know, and pastor doesn't always get what he wants. Don't believe him. And I honestly, I felt like, okay, God handed me this for a reason. And so I really just started praying and studying and digging in. And we're going to talk about breaking the spirit of mammon. Uh-oh. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for our time together and for your blessing upon our lives. And Father, we just want to open our hearts to, even as Pastor Daniel talked about, that we want to not just hear, but we want to listen. Father, we want revelation, knowledge, and truth, and just make that deposit in us. And Lord, we are so grateful to just be a part of this nation. And Lord, the founding that took place, and so much of the biblical worldview, and all the parts of this nation that has graced it to endure as long as it has. And Father, we pray that you continue to watch over our nation. And Lord, put good, godly, righteous people that are in office and in public positions, Lord, that truly have governorship and oversight in our lives, that can represent you and represent us. And Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for blessing our time together this morning and just moving among us. Have your way in us. Bring freedom and liberty. Break off the spirit of poverty. Break off shame and guilt. Break off any hindrances for us entering into a truly a blessed life. And Lord, that your grace is here sufficient for me to communicate as an oracle of God with your spirit of just grace and God, with compassion, Lord, that I'll be able to communicate effectively today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're going to read from a passage of scripture here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. The word mammon is not used a whole lot. Matter of fact, the majority of its usage is literally right here in this passage and one other time. And it comes from an Aramaic word. So you do realize that a lot of the New Testament, especially when you're in the Gospels, you know, we got it to the English out of the Greek. But if you go back and you really look at it, you've got to look. You have Hebrew that's, you know, spoken quite a bit, you know, with Jesus and his disciples, but also Aramaic was the language of the day. And if you look at this word mammon, it's very sometimes confusing, especially this first verse, and I'll explain it as we get into it. And but it comes, it's an Aramaic word. It comes from Assyrian worship of a god of riches and wealth. And with that, they did crazy stuff. You know, when you look at scripture and you look at history with a lot of false worship and to other gods and made up stuff and things, it can get crazy. And there was a lot of that associated with it. It actually, some believe it tracks all the way back into Baal worship. And when you think about the Tower of Babel, that it has its roots in that, which has to do with this building of this tower to overthrow God. The arrogance of humanity. Like we can do that, right? And yet that was there, and I believe it's still there, that people literally oppose God and put themselves in a position many times, sometimes without even knowing it, without even realizing it. And so one of the things that you'll hear me say a lot, and you'll hear it with certain elders, especially Tommy Olive. Where's Tommy? There's Tommy. Olive's nursing. Tommy, if you get around him much, he's going to talk about a biblical worldview. That Christians, Christ followers, should have a biblical worldview. So it don't matter what our opinions are. What does the Bible say? It doesn't matter what politicians say. No offense, hopefully. What does God say about it? And so I'm always governed. I'm always trying to come back to that place. And we want to be able to preach out of that. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? How do we align ourselves to God's word so that our lives are truly blessed? Amen? Because God wants us on the path of blessing. And that's our goal, is so that we are blessed. And so it's not about, please understand, in this whole message, in this series, and hopefully everybody is communicated in that you've heard it, that you listened, that you didn't just hear, but you listened. It's not about us trying or God trying to get money from you. That's not what this is about. It's not about a hyper-prosperity gospel, even though we believe in seed time and harvest, and we believe that God wants us blessed. If you don't have enough for your own needs, how are you going to be a blessing to someone else? So he blesses us so that we can be a blessing. And so all of this is part of it, but it's not a hyper-gospel or prosperity gospel. And so I'm going to try and speak to some of that, and then look at the conflict between the world's system and that spirit that is operating in the God of Mammon against the kingdom of God and what God says. Okay, let's look. Here in Luke chapter 16, starting there in verse 9, it says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." And we will come back to that because that can be confusing, right? How many go amen to that? Verse 10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" In verse 12, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters." Look at this. "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So again, what is mammon? Mammon is, the way Pastor Robert Morris, you know, with Gateway, the way he communicates it, he believes it is a demonic spirit. It is a stronghold that is driving the world system with greed, with all of those kinds of things that begin to take control and begin to give governance. So mammon is, it's not money. We'll talk about some more of that. It is more than that. It is about this this system of greed and how do you get gain. We see this all the time. Come on. How many of you are about fed up with Washington, D.C. and all the legislators and everybody up there that, you know, they can get elected to office, not have hardly any money, get paid $175,000 a year, and come out a few years later, multimillionaires. Something wrong with that picture. You know, they can drum up, give themselves raises. They can drum up their own health care system, and we're stuck with what we got or what we don't have. Right? And once they're there, it's amazing the kind of tentacles and the kinds of things and where that goes. And a lot believe that that's why the war machine and everything that's going on. And do we need, you know, to have protection for the good old USA? Absolutely. But at the same time, there's a lot that are gaining huge amounts of wealth with wars. And so they want to keep them going. Told you I'm just going to hit some stuff. I think you bring it on down. Look at our. Let's talk about healthcare system, and that whole thing, and they call it healthcare, but it's sickness care. If it was healthcare, we would be more on the front end of taking care of ourselves, and we'd be rewarded for doing so. There's ways to fix some of this, folks, and we can get ahead of it. Think about education. Uh-oh. Think about this. You know, on this ballot, if you pull it up, you can look at it. It's going to be on there again. It was there 2 years ago. Do you as a parent want school choice and have the ability to send your children with the money to what school you choose? Overwhelmingly, 85% voted 2 years ago and said yes. But guess what? Legislators did not listen. They may have heard, but they didn't listen. And so here it's back around. And there's a major issue in this. Our governor is adamant that Texas needs to follow so many of the other states that have been very successful in this to give school choice. Florida, I believe, is one of the leading states in the U.S. I read some research on what they've done. They've got 5 years behind them, and with voucher system, they have raised the overall education across that state with all populations. Don't believe them, some of them lies. Listen, they tried to say if we allow school choice charter schools, the public schools are going to go out of business. Well, guess what? Charter schools have been around 30 years, and public schools are still in business. And they want to make us out to be the school choice now. And yet the reality, I've only been in it 15 years, and we have watched more and more and more of our freedoms and what we were able to do completely be stripped away and to be more and more just like an ISD so that we don't have any of those freedoms and rights that we once did. And the sad part is when charter school started 30 years ago, charter said, you know what, if you'll do this, we can do it with less. And we could. But now we have to not only meet all the same academics, the same financials, but we also have a whole high quality framework and get judged on a whole nother layer of bureaucracy and scale, different and higher than an ISD. And yet we get a fraction still of the money, to be honest. So something's got to give. And I think empowering parents goes back to a biblical worldview. I had a charter school leader this past week. I asked them, I was like, what are you thinking? Because we're a public school. If it could hurt anybody, it could hurt possibly a charter school. You giving parents choice and they go to a private school, guess what? Some of them could leave. This charter leader told me, They said, we are so much for school choice, if we voted against the vouchers, I would absolutely consider myself a hypocrite. That's what she said. She's a superintendent of a charter school. I went beyond that when I was asked, and I go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Come on, it's in the text. What's the Bible say? The Bible says you as the parent are ultimately responsible for your child. Not the government. That's on you. So from the early beginnings, when we started our school, it was adamant that we were partnering with you as a parent. And we open our schools and we invite parents in. We don't push you away. That's a big part of, I think, some of our success. And we have cultural challenges that if we continue to allow, especially the federal government involved in this thing, they are going to drive this thing into the dirt. Everything they touch just makes it a mess, much bigger. Why shouldn't Texas shift and move into a place like Florida to have more freedom and more rights for parents? And I'm not running for office. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I think we ought to get in line with the Bible, what the Word says. And I believe in capitalism. I think it works. Where you take competition out, believe me, it's a mess. Look what happened to I'm really going there now. But they done ticked this guy off. I don't know about you, but you know, you do away with competition even in healthcare, and all we have is one choice now. And so my mom can lay up there on a hospital gurney in a hall in a basement for 47 hours trying to find a room, having to get up out of bed and go down to a bathroom down the way. Something's wrong. Listen, change without change is not change. Sometimes you got to drive that. You got to move in there, and you got to stand up for what is right and call what is wrong, wrong. And I think that we have to. I hear so many of you having to, you feel like that you can't fully trust it here. You go to Abilene, you go to Lubbock, you go to San Antonio, you go to Dallas. I hear that. I think something anytime, whether it's education or whatever, when you remove an element of competition and you're the only game in town, automatically that thing can create a demise. And it's self-serving. All right. That's the spirit of the world. But you know, it starts rewarding all kinds of things. I read a statistic that I was shocked that more and more seniors are living together and not getting married, or some of them even getting married. Some of the highest rate of divorce rate is happening with seniors, and they're divorcing but still living together so they can get their benefits. Why? Because the government rewards that. This is insanity, folks. If you're worried about all those coming across the border having free education, guess what? Public schools, charters included, already take all those kids. It's already there. Our tax dollars are already at work doing that. Now, as a church, are we going to be the church? And are we for reaching people? And are we for, I've told our staff, I'm like, wherever we stand on this issue, build a border. Secure the border. But if they're in and they're here, we need to reach them. And if we don't reach them and we don't educate, I'm telling you, it's directly connected to crime. Education is a leveler. I'll talk about maybe some of that later in this. But again, the spirit of mammon, we got to deal with this thing, and you've got to look at, is it creeping into my life anywhere? Is there something that has gotten on me to where now I am after more and more and more to just have more. Because that spirit is at work, and that spirit has friends. Oh, yeah. All right, let's move on. Is money evil? Money's not evil. It's interesting that it's almost like the church is always behind. Television comes out. It's of the devil. No, that TV's not of the devil. And the church will sit back and scream at something and say it's of the devil and then miss out on the front end of the move. They'll do the same thing. Internet. All these different aspects. And if we're not careful, we'll sit back rather than entering in to preach the gospel, to advance with technology, with the kinds of things that society is moving along in. Money in and of itself is not evil. That is not what the Bible says. A lot of you will go, what's 1 Timothy 6:10 say? It doesn't say money's evil. It says the love of money is evil. If you were in a romance with money, you better check that. And if that, because listen, you as a Christ follower, if that gets on you, it takes you places you don't want to go. And you'll begin to do things. I think that's part of the problem right now, is that so many of our different areas of society has turned into this place where we protect the system. If we protect the system of education, all the public schools are going out of business. No, they're not. That's not been proven. It's not a reality. If we protect the system over people, there's a problem. So money in and of itself is not evil. We have talked a lot about this through the years. I rotate through, and again, our campus pastors probably aren't going to get as froggy as me. I have a little more leeway. But in that, I've talked about books that Hector, some of you thought he was going to be here today. I'm not Hector, right? But Hector will be here, I believe, next week. And he teaches that finance class. Brandon Moore, some of you got blessed by his books and heard some of his stories. And we want to see more entrepreneurs. We want to see you rise up and be able to do business and do some. I was talking to a young lady out there this morning that is doing a startup right now. And I get excited about that. I'm like, yeah. What if it fails? Come on. If you're not trying, you might avoid some failure. But if you're trying, even if you fail, you can fail forward. Come on, that's a John Maxwell quote. He has a whole book, I think, called Failing Forward. At least try something. Do you need wisdom? Absolutely, you do. In money, is money bad? No. One of the other books that I've recommended through the years is a secular book. It's not a Christian book, but it has Jewish roots in it. It's called The Jewish Phenomena, and they've done a revision on it. And so if you get that updated, it's really solid. It's good. And it's the seven keys to the enduring wealth of a people, which is talking about the Jews, and how so much of the wealth and major positions of the world leaders and those in business and education and all those kinds of things, they are in that. And there's seven keys. Listen, education is one of them. You're not going to have tremendous success without education. But education doesn't answer everything. They need skills. That's why we work hard at that area as well, to help close some of those gaps. Our leadership school and what we've chosen to do, even as Texas Public Schools, and what other charters are willing to do. All of those things come together to try to help move that along. But money can be used to do so many good things. Please hear me. Money can be used to do so many good things. And for a long time, you know, as whenever I came to be the senior pastor here, I honestly think my wife and I could be missionaries real easy, because I felt we have almost lived such a missional life that some of it was missionary. The places that we have lived, I could tell you some stories of what we've been willing to do, to pay it forward, to delayed gratification, to do all these different kinds of things, even for our church and for what I felt God called us to do. Even 15 years ago when we were launching the charter school, I told the elders, I said, I want to stop taking a salary from the church and I'm going to move to the school side. And at that time, I think in that original budget, it was $40,000. Now, whenever I came to work for the church, it was $35,000. There were people on staff making more than the senior pastor. Now, Wayne was not part of the board back then. And most of the other guys. But through the years, I always tried to say, don't give me a raise, give them a raise. Joanne and I, we have other investments. We've done some other things for income. And so it's not been about needing money. But some years back, so I went 7 years without receiving any pay from the church. And there's an outside compensation board that sets salaries, but I was always meddling in the wrong way. And finally, they were like, listen, you are robbing this church from a blessing. They should be giving you something. I'm like, fine then. So I just gave it over. I said, I'm out of it then. Well, they took me back to the $35,000 that I came in 1997 in year one. Now, let me set this up. Here's how some of this money stuff works. I can't always figure out or understand the spiritual workings of God in this. But there's truths and there's things that he watches over to bless. The month that they gave me my first check back on the church side, immediately we started seeing an increase in the church. And it continued. And we started looking. I was like, okay, did we have some new members show up? Did somebody start doing above and beyond? And we could not pinpoint. It was like the overall giving just came up for our church because they started giving me a salary again. At that point, I'm like, okay, I got to do a little more research in this. So then I'm talking to God about this. And here's the crazy thing. Sometimes, you know, pride and arrogance can come in a lot of different forms and a lot of different fashions. And I had a little bit of arrogance there going, I don't need your money. Come on, how many ever said, boy, either I need God to come through or I need some more money? Ooh, that's dangerous. No, we need God to come through, period. Right? Now, if he brings money to help solve that, that's okay. See, again, it's so much about our heart, and it's about the right perspective, and it's about not letting that spirit get on us. And in this arrogance, in some of this, so I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he's like, you're a giver. Why wouldn't I try to give you more? Because you're going to give it in places that I want to send that money. And I had to correct my heart in that and put myself in a position, okay, God, if you want to bless me, then bless me. And I want to be trusting that I'm going to let it flow through, because again, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. There's a real principle in that. Amen or oh me. And so I just made my mind up in that and said, I just shifted. I felt like I got a word from God. I listened, and we have just been on this journey, and Joanne and I have continued to just watch God's blessings. You know, some of our other investment stuff, it has even just taken off. And so it's like, okay, God. And we've just watched God bless us. Now, some want to then get, well, look at what they got. Boy, immediately, soon as you, if you feel that, you better check that. You see somebody blessed, you ought to enter into that blessing and going, glory to God, amen. If God did it for them, he can do it for me. Come on. And the reality is, most people still don't know sometimes, especially for a business owner, you don't know the price that they've paid. The 80 hours a week that probably most of them work and what it takes to be able to actually do a business. Listen, if you want to be an entrepreneur, don't go in and if you don't want to work. if you want to be in business, oh yeah. Yeah. You better love what you're doing. And you don't know what sometimes people pay, the price that's paid, what it takes to be able to carry that weight. We have a lot of pastors that have gone off and pastored in other places that are on our staff that have been senior pastors. And I've had these conversations with them, and I offer them opportunities. You know, they're looking for a pastor. They're happy. Some of them have been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, and they're done. They're like, we love it right here, being a part of a team, not having to carry the load of that. There's something that happens in leadership when you step into that, that you step in and you start carrying the weight of that. You feel responsible now before God in stewardship and caring for people. Which brings me to the last thing. So if money's not evil and we should use that money, how? Well, money, and you'll hear this around here at the Life Church, money with a mission. Money with a mission. And so we try to work it. We do tours. We had leadership San Angelo from the chamber here. Stormy brought, you know, her team, and they did a tour, you know, and we're here and went through the school and all. And they always get a kick out of it when I say you're sitting, whether you realize or not, in a Catholic gymatorium. This puppy works. Basically 7 days a week. It is worked hard. And this whole facility is like that. I mean, it's amazing. You can show up here. I mean, I can drive up nearly any point in time of the week, and there's cars out here. There's people in this building. It is a blessing to our community. And we're planning on being even a bigger blessing as we build out over here on this other side of this wall. I don't know if you can picture that indoor playground and your kids up there playing on that playscape, having fun. All that new stuff that's out there with a new auditorium that's going to be built over there. Oh, that's all in our future. But you know what? It's not just about us. Whenever I think about the ministries that we support locally, like House of Faith and Rush Street and some of the others that we do here, Jaira House with the women's ministry, the women's shelter that they have, the partnerships that we have sometimes even with some other churches. But ministries like Emmett in Africa with Cobus, that sometimes you see Cobus as he cycles through, and educating primarily women in business throughout Africa and some of the worst areas of Africa. Haiti, orphans. True religion is what? Caring for the widows and the orphans. And Core Love does that in Haiti with about 1 million. Listen, 10% of the population, the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, and it is a mess. It's a disaster. And again, no publicly funded education. And in that kind of poverty-stricken country, very few are being educated unless they're connected to like a ministry like Core Love. It's not only taking care and doing orphan ministry, but they have the education center to where they're educating not only the orphans, but also the surrounding area with free public school or free private school, excuse me, that's funded by ministries, by churches like us. When I think you've got Guillermo and Emily that's going to be here in some weeks. They're in Spain and with the cultural center and everything they're doing to reach so many of the migration and the migrants that are coming out of North Africa, primarily Muslims, that are going up into Europe and what they're doing to be able to establish that and to reach those people. Because here's the last part. I'm going to close with this. What do we do with money? Well, let's go back and let's look at this passage where it says, in that first verse that I read in verse 9, it says, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting home. And as I studied this, and Pastor Robert brought so much light into this, and I checked him. I was like, come on, are you serious? And I checked it, and I was like, there it is. It's amazing how we'll take a word, translate it to English, and it changes the whole meaning. But if you go back to the original in the Aramaic, even in the Greek, it says this. So when you make friends, you are doing outreach to others around you. Even those that are in the world system, unrighteous mammon, unrighteous riches, greed, and all the other stuff that goes with that. Even being able to reach into that world. See, we're not called to be isolationist. That's not what God's called us to be. That's why we need to be back in public schools. That's why in Texas, part of the education code says that you must post in God we trust. And we've got it over here in our elementary and in our schools over here. When you walk in, you'll see, and it gives the education code. You don't see that in public schools, and yet it says in code they must publicize it. God, listen, the founders of this nation never intended in the, quote, separation of church and state that Christians can't be a part of this thing. And that we can't make an impact and be involved and make a difference. But you build friends, you build relationships that when you die, oh, look at this word. I know it says fail, but one of the meanings of this word is so that when you die, they may receive you into everlasting home, everlasting life. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house is many mansions. And I'm preparing a place to receive you. In that end gathering, because the Bible teaches, listen, when you pull all this together, because the Bible says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves break in to steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. What do you think those treasures are? People. These that are being reached, that are you are a part of, and don't think, well, I'm not reaching any, listen, that widow that gave two mites, that lit Jesus up. Read about it. He's like, oh my God, here's a lady, she's given more than everybody. And they're like, what did we miss? I thought it was just 2 cents, two mites. He's like, everybody else is giving out of their abundance. She's giving out of this deep place of need. Sometimes you need to realize it's all of us together that make things happen. When this church, when Sherry, our business officer, when she sends that check out to some of these ministries and they're doing that outreach and they're bringing people to salvation. Man, I was looking online this morning with Gerson over in the Philippines in that intense Muslim area and the amount of people that they are seeing come to Christ. There's a youth movement that's happened among their young people and they're on fire for Jesus. When you understand that And all of a sudden, what you're giving in this church and knowing that it's flowing out. Yeah, is it paying the light bill? Absolutely. Is it helping some salaries? And let me tell you this. Well, I'll just say it. Because sometimes we just, I guess you need to know. I got kind of irritated here a while back, and I'll have to be careful how I do this in Abilene. It's a new startup. But I'm standing like I do out there, and I'm greeting people as they're exiting. And there's this guy that comes up, and there's the offering box that's over here to the side, and he comes up, and he puts some money in, and he said, "Pastor, have lunch on me today." And I know he meant well. And I'm like, I pay for my own lunch. Now, do I have a salary? Yes. But here's the reality that the campuses may not understand. Even though we have done all this, this church has other cash flow streams. And we have certain admin staff, if you will, central staff, that is paid out of that, including my salary, so that local ties stay with local churches. So, now, are we as a whole prepared to be able to help Abilene get launched and get that church going? Absolutely. But the idea behind it is the monies that's there, that are raised there, stay there. Arlington, same thing. San Angelo, same thing. And so we've structured it to where I'm not having to be dependent on that either. That's a little crafty, a little interesting. I know we're not the norm. I can't help it. I was raised in business. I come with a little different thought. And we're look at what God's doing. Come on, guys. Let's don't mess it up. Let's don't get jealous of one another. Let's don't get into that whole world system and look at who's got what. Paul said, you start comparing yourself with one another, you are in a dangerous place. We should celebrate other successes. And realize together, let's live kingdom. Let's move mission forward. Let's be able to reach the world around us, here at home and abroad. And we don't have to go too far abroad. I mean, the world's coming to us. Sometime you really want to visit that culture, go to the Arlington campus. I was there. I was going to wear my cowboy jersey last Sunday. I know it was Super Bowl Sunday and Cowboys weren't playing, but I was still going to wear my cowboy jersey. And Pastor Lane reminded me. He's like, "Dad," he's like, "most of the people in this church, they're not Cowboys fans. They're from all other places. They live in Arlington. Most of them, they're from other places in the world. Not just around the U.S. This church does do things sometimes differently, but it's because of the kingdom-minded work that I believe that we're called to do. That it is beyond us. It's living outside yourself. Joanne and I have always tried to live below to be able to have enough to be able to give. And we're one of the top givers here in this church, but also that doesn't include everything else that we do out there. And so if somebody starts yan, yan, yan about Pastor Walt being blessed, say, yeah, he is. But I am a giver. Joanne is a giver. And we have grown and developed in that. Now, it's just amazing. We love doing it. It's if you can begin to step into that, I'm telling you, it's exciting. And I still get checked. Man, where's Joe? There's Joe. Joe and April. You know, we had a celebration party with Jalen Chavez. You know, he was signing, you know, go to university. And we were down there at Twisted Root. And next thing I know, Joe bought my dinner. I'm like, "Joe, don't do that," you know. And he's like, "You ain't stealing my blessing." My daughter, Erica, was sitting there. She's like, "Joe, you have no idea what you just pulled off because Dad normally buys." it's exciting to be able to have that. Listen, I didn't always have that, folks. I know what it is to give painfully. When I was having to believe God for my own needs. And sometimes the Lord speak to me to give to help someone else. But I've watched his faithfulness. He can be trusted. And I'm telling you, if you involve yourself in this whole lifestyle of charitable giving, it'll get on you. And you'll get excited about it. And you cannot outgive God. I have proved it. We have proved it over and over again. Let's stand to our feet. I hope that today, now let me close out with this. I know we're going someplace, but I really asked Stormy, you know, I was like, how come you know, the church doesn't really know you as much? And she's here all the time, regular, her and Tyler, the family. And she's like, well, I want to keep my politics separate from my church. This is my safe space. I was like, dang, I respect that. So please don't think that we were just being political. But early voting does start Tuesday. Come on, say, I love my pastor. Sometimes it's a confession. You just got to make that. But as we're coming to an end of this service, I don't believe it's an end of this message that God has sown into our hearts today, the truths of these scriptures. Because again, the only thing going to heaven is people. You can't take it with you. And does the Bible talk about us leaving an inheritance to our children's children? It does. Does it talk about us being good stewards? It does. But at the same time, I want to be just a flow through to allow God to be a blessing to so many others. And I know we have tremendous givers here at the Life Church. I think God wants to raise some more up. And again, you got to get blessed so you can be a blessing. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for having your way in our lives. I want you to just keep opening your heart, enter into this last song of worship, and let God have his way. Maybe he's speaking to you. Somebody's come to mind. Listen, I've taken groceries to houses that I had no idea who lived there just by leading, being led by the Spirit of God. It's an amazing journey. God bless you. Let's worship.